Talking to Michael Kelsey, of course, the executive vice president of Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. We're down in the final literally days, Michael, of 2021. What a crazy year for your members and for agriculture in our state and across the country.
Really very unique year. I hope we never see another year like this again, ever, if not at minimum a long, long time. And ending with a lot of challenges as well. A lot of opportunities, I think, but also a lot of challenges. And so it's time has just really been warped as far as I'm concerned, at least for my calendar, my internal calendar and so forth, COVID, et cetera. But certainly this year has seen tremendous volatility. A variety of issues. Marijuana, never dreamed we would have this type of discussion and of the importance of this issue, you know, as one. And then all the market issues that we've dealt with, the supply chain issues, both from our product going to the consumer, as well as the products and services, more products that we need in order to grow cattle and grow agriculture, if you will, feed, et cetera. Just tremendous amount of challenges that we've seen. And like I said, ready to move on and see those opportunities.
We had a tough year in 2020, yeah. But we thought maybe 2021 would be better, but yet it was better in some ways, but right. but yet it clearly as you mentioned, a whole host of things have popped up. The medical marijuana issue. I know at this time last year, we had no clue that these things would be happening. By the end of the legislative session, a lot of things were obviously going on. Last summer, you addressed it in a lot of detail at your meeting, but yet it's if anything, it's gotten worse since then.
Yeah, it's gotten worse and it's gotten better. So in essence, it's changed. It continues to evolve and grow and digress and grow and evolve. Maybe evolve is the best word. So I'll start with the positives. A lot of good. Director Adria Berry has been a breath of fresh air over at OMMA, the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. She is doing a fantastic job. She's got a monumental task, but doing a very good job. And she says this, she still has a lot of work to do. OMMA still has a tremendous amount of work to do. Incidentally, she has agreed to come to our winter policy meeting in January and visit with us and update us and so forth. And of course, we're as interested, how can we help you from the rural side of this. OBN has, we've seen more prosecution arrests of some of the illegal activity. Director Anderson and his team, again, doing a great job with a limited amount of resources in a really difficult environment. You know, that the more I honestly learned about how you establish the documentation to understand illegal activity, it's a detail. I don't have that expertise. I'm not in that, and it takes time to do that. And I appreciate that from a fact of due diligence, but of course we want it done immediately and so forth, but they're doing a great job. That being said, we're still seeing an explosive amount of permits. The number of permits continues to be very high in Oklahoma. The illegal activity continues to be very high in Oklahoma. The need for a regulatory environment, if you will, is very high. And then on top of that, we have two petition initiatives that are beginning now that could put on the state ballot at some point in time a question of full recreational, as well as a question of regulatory, the Oklahoma State Cannabis Commission, I believe it would be what it called, but both of those in the Constitution, which then would be almost immune from any type of modification. And so very troubling in that sense. So a lot on that issue, some good that we've seen progress, some bad that continues to emphasize the work that we need to do from a legislative standpoint. And we're gearing up for that, as well as our friends in agriculture, as well as communicating with folks who aren't necessarily in the rural environment of the issue, but trying to understand the more social or the patient side of the issue as well. So a lot of work to do there.
And you'll clearly have an opportunity to fine-tune what you want to say to the legislature come the session that starts in February.
That's correct. Our January 27th winter policy meeting, we will be talking about medical marijuana. There's no question about that. Refining our policy based upon some of the new understandings that we have, based upon some of the things that have been in terms of more inspectors, more investigators, some of those types of things, just refining it. Also, just kind of understanding what the political environment is. That's, that's dynamic. It changes. And so you want to be able to try to eat the elephant one bite at a time, but you want to try to continue to work forward. And so understanding what that environment can be and so forth. So, yeah, we're going to spend some good time talking about it at our January 27th meeting. Now, we've got great policy as a foundation, very good member-driven, excellent policy as a foundation. We just need to build upon that.
Before we get into some of the cattle-specific issues, one other thing that I'm sure you're going to talk a little bit more about come January is McGirt. And gosh, it continues to seemingly it's boiling right now, and not good to see some of the headlines we've seen between government leadership and the tribal leadership.
Yeah, it's a really difficult issue, and it's one that the Supreme Court caused, and it's one that the Supreme Court needs to somewhat resolve and define further, if you will. That's the volatility of the issue. It's, there's a temptation to try to take somebody's side, and you can certainly appreciate both sides of the argument. You can certainly appreciate both sides of the discussion and so forth. But the clear role that need or the clear solution is the Supreme Court and or Congress needs to come in and establish what the groundwork is going to be. I don't know that Congress is going to get that done, so the Supreme Court, in the meantime, really needs to come in and answer some of those questions that the original McGirt ruling created and brought up. And so hopefully we'll see that in this court session, and it will bring some solution, bring some ending, if you will, to this issue so that we can continue to move forward. There's just a lot of questions that need to be answered that are beyond the criminal side of the issue, beyond the investigative major crimes side of the issue, and those need to be resolved.
I guess anybody who's got a cattle operation, a ranch in the eastern half of the state, that this is something you got to pay attention to.
It very much is, and certainly in the east side of the state, any of where the five civilized tribes are, and the Creek Nation, and so forth. But I would say even further than that, because the establishment of sovereignty is a very important topic. And when we're talking to NCBA, certainly Oklahoma has the vast majority or a large portion of the tribes, the established tribes, are in Oklahoma. But Oklahoma's not the only state that has established tribes, and so they're watching as well. And so those questions of sovereignty, those questions of treaties, those types of questions need to be answered and need to be resolved so that we can move forward. And depending upon what the court can do, it could theoretically, this is all theory, but they could theoretically cause some more ripples depending upon what they may or may not do. And so this is an important issue, even beyond the state lines of Oklahoma. It's a very important issue that we need some resolution to. We need to move forward for everybody, for the tribe's interests, for the state's interest, and then, of course, for those folks that are living within those boundaries, whether they're tribe members or not tribe members. We need some resolution to move forward.
For our cattle producers, the markets of 2021 have, I guess, given us some almost a little bit for almost anybody. If you go from January to December now, it has been a wild ride.
It has been unbelievably volatile and just crazy. All over the board. We've talked to OCA members who were very disappointed and should be rightfully so in some of their sales in terms of when they marketed and how those cattle did, and talked to some OCA members who did pretty good depending upon when they marketed and so forth. And cattle, especially here towards the end of the year, some of those sectors of cattle, feeder cattle, some stocker cattle and so forth did pretty well. And then we saw a nice bump in live cattle price too. We've certainly seen an increase in the number of cash trade I should say negotiated trade overall. Now, has it been enough? That's a good question. question. That's going to be a debate at not only our meeting in the 27th of January, but it will be in Houston at NCBA as well. And that's going to be a big topic, because while we've seen an increase in negotiated trade, is it enough? And are the Packers participating at a level which is appropriate for us to understand negotiated trade, some price transparency and some of those types of things? Those are some of the questions that we're going to be talking about as we move forward into 2022 and so forth. But boy, howdy, the market, you hit the nail on the head, just kind of all over the board and extremely volatile. I will say this, Ron, one thing I think it hopefully emphasized, and this is one of the messages we had at our fall gatherings, was to our members, look for opportunities to hedge and to protect your risk, if you will. And hedge, I shouldn't have said hedge, but hedge is one of those opportunities. It's not the only one. But look for opportunities to mitigate your risk. That is more important now than it probably ever has been. And it's even important to those folks who have traditionally said, well, I'm not big enough. You know, I only sell X number of calves, and that's for the big guys to do. No, I don't think so. I think we really need to consider how we mitigate our risk. And there are tools and instruments that a smaller producer, when I say smaller, I'm talking about number of head, can use and utilize. They may be a little different than a larger operator, but there's still opportunity to help offset that risk. It might be just as simple as working with your local sale barn in a little more of a direct fashion than you have in the past. You know, our market owners are fantastic at understanding the market and help me when to bring them, what week to bring them, and so forth. And so, again, there's opportunity there, and I think it emphasized now more than ever we need to be looking at those opportunities.
I guess on the opportunity side of things, we've seen a lot of opportunity with how consumers domestically and internationally love the product that we're producing.
You know, through all of this, beef demand has been astonishing. And I use that word very purposefully. It's been amazing. People love our product, and they're willing to purchase it in many different forms. We didn't see only strong demand in the ground market, or only strong demand in the steak market, or only strong demand in the export market. It waned a little bit here and there. Obviously, some of it's seasonal, but boy, overall, beef demand has just been fantastic. And so we need to capitalize on that and continue to grow that and continue to build that affinity. And one thing, Ron, that I think about is I so much appreciate our friends at Texas Cattle Feeders. They had their convention here in Oklahoma City this year, and we had an opportunity to go over and they had a great presenter who's a demographer, and he's talking about demographics. And as we think about as the demographics of the United States, just the domestic market, I won't even touch the international market, but just the domestic market, as they are changing, what are the opportunities for us in beef demand? So as the baby boomer population starts to decrease, and as the millennial population is more of the buying power, and then the population behind them, the younger group, who has incredible buying power, and how we meet that demand or facilitate that demand for our product with each of those groups is critically important. All the more reason the importance of that beef checkoff, to continue working and understanding who our consumer is so we can market our product appropriately. Because how we advertise, for lack of a better term, a product to a baby boomer is different than it is a millennial. It's just completely different. And one's not right, one's not wrong, it's just different. And so we need to be thinking about those things as we move forward to continue to build on that strong beef demand that we have.
And kind of going along with that, of course, OCA is rolling out your own product, the Prairie Beef, but also you've got a lot of your other members that are engaged in one form or another of trying to get beef more directly and connect directly with the consumer.
That's a fantastic. We have seen an explosion of that, and that is wonderful that that members are taking that opportunity to more closely direct to the consumer. Hopefully it's been monetarily beneficial, profitable for them to do so, and many of them it has. They've experienced new challenges and new problems because they're taking on more of the risk. They're having to maintain their cattle a little longer, feed them a little longer. Of course, finding a place to have them slaughtered has been a big challenge, but we've seen a growth in that market here in Oklahoma. Thanks to many reasons, but our friends over at ODAF have done a great job helping facilitate new inspectors, helping facilitate these new facilities to come online. Just a stack of new facilities on Director Scott's desk to process and so forth, and he's going through and getting those done. So there's more opportunity for these folks who are direct marketing to process their cattle, whether they want to do a custom exempt or a state inspected or whatever the case may be. So that's been great. Our Prairie Beef Solutions, we're so excited. This week we're going to kill our first set of cattle. Those are going to be research cattle. We're going to learn how to develop more value-added products, even for cows. You know, we traditionally thought that cows were all ground beef. That's not so. We have an opportunity to add some value to some of those products. What we hope that will allow us to do, and it should if we do this appropriately, is add more value to the carcass, which means we can pay more for the cattle. And that's the reason that we're starting this program, is not only to jump on an origin-based product, an Oklahoma-based product, from a consumer demand perspective, but also to help the producer, the OCA member who needs a little more for that product, that great quality product that they're producing, and connecting them closer to that consumer.
2022 will be an election year, federally, but also here in the state of Oklahoma as well. What kind of conversations are you already having with your leadership and with your members as you think about the decisions that'll have to be made?
Yeah, it's, you know, November seems so far away, but it'll be here quickly. It'll be here quickly. And of course, we've got runoffs between now and then, and so forth. So you're absolutely right. We're gonna go through those constitutional offices that will elect a governor, an attorney general, so forth. Obviously, all our House seats. U.S. House seats will be up, and then we've got a Senate election as well. Mr. Langford is Senator Langford, and so there's going to be a lot of activity. There's some turnover on the Corporation Commission. All of our state offices, our state houses, and then many of our state Senate seats are up as well. So it's going to be and we didn't even go into the county commissioners and so forth. So very active political scene coming up. We're interested in marijuana and how that issue is going to play out in this discussion. By the way, we mentioned it briefly earlier, but the state questions, you know, potential state questions, because they haven't got all the signatures yet. So let's be clear on where the process is. But, you know, those could be there, and maybe some others as well. We don't know. So at this point in time, but we're going to be engaged on that issue. We'll also be engaged on the tax environment as we see more, you know, go back to that demographic question. That's even in the beef industry. We've got more folks who are turning over their assets to the next generation. That tax environment, especially on the federal level, is critical. We've got a lot of great friends in the especially the House and both the Senate in Oklahoma. We need to make sure we keep them there and keep them understanding the issue of that tax and that generational transfer as we move forward. But so those are a lot of the discussions and many others. And the biggest thing that we're telling our members is you've got to engage. You've got to go to those town halls. You need to when you jump on that, when you see that parade go by and you see that candidate, make a point to try to connect with them at some point in the future. Meet them, get to know them. Ask them questions. Are you invested in the marijuana industry? That's a fair question. What do you think of the beef cattle industry? What do you think of these types of private property rights, water rights, all those types of state issues that are important to you? On the federal side, talk to our folks that about the tax issues, about the environmental issues. Certainly, we're going to see on the federal level as Congress comes back, they're going to make a big push. The Biden administration, he's got one, you know, about a half a year here before the election, and that mid-year election is shaping up to perhaps be pretty brutal to him. They usually typically are to the sitting president, but you know, so that's not unique to Democrat or Republican, but I mean, he's going to try to make some waves, and so we're going to have to hold the line. as well as those things that are appropriate, try to get them through. And so, and that all has election consequence. And so it's very important that we remain engaged. It's very important that we remain in contact with our elected officials so we can communicate to them where we're at and what we need done.
Finally, Michael, early January, second Cattlemen's Congress coming back. I know for OCA and for your membership and for really all of the all the agriculture industry in the state of Oklahoma, this is what a feather in our hat.
Oh man, this is, I mean, there's a lot of people that are way sharper than me and have some foresight, some long-term vision to establish that Congress and to be able to bring it back and to build it. And I think we're in for just an unbelievable ride for a long time with Congress. That being said, this is the second year, a real pivotal year, because this can kind of determine, you know, is this thing really real or is this, but it's real. You know, talking to Bray Haven, who kind of heads that up, and Bray's doing a great job. Tyler, all his team, you look at the board that they have in place. I mean, the point is there's a lot of really talented, good people that have the genuine interest of propelling the beef industry as a whole forward, and doing so here in Oklahoma is fantastic. It's obviously great for Oklahoma City. It's great for the surrounding area, but it is fantastic for the beef cattle industry. I'm so excited about Congress coming in. We're praying for good weather. It doesn't need to be cold because it's that time of year, and we do need some moisture. Boy, howdy, we need some moisture. But let's pray for good weather for that time, just for safety more than anything. But, man, it's shaping up to be a great one, and we're excited about that.